Good morning, everyone. It's not what you give to him, but what you receive from him. Rest in his power, he's able to do anything and everything. Ask him, be quiet and listen. Seek him and he will be found. Knock and he will open the door unto you. He'll see you through. He'll see you through. You try so hard to carry the weight on your shoulders. Why do you hesitate? Exchange your heavy burden for a light one. Give it to the sun. Give it to the sun. Cast all your cares on the one who can bear the weight of it all. Was not meant to share all that he asks and all he requires. God will provide. He will provide. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up. Clothed with humility, not your ability, he'll make you stand. He'll make you stand. You try so hard to carry the weight on your shoulders. Why do you hesitate? Explains your heavy burden for a light one. Give it to the sun. Give it to the sun. You try so carry the weight on your shoulder. Why do you hesitate? Exchange your heavy burden for a light one. Give it to the sun. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He really does care.
I'm sure that ministered to more than a few of us. It's exactly what we need to do. That's one of the central verses to my message this morning. And our message is entitled, Of Wool and Lanolin. You'll see why. By the way, happy Father's Day. Another very important Hallmark holiday is upon us. Somebody's really happy about it. I don't care. I want to be someone's father every day. not just on Father's Day. And God is my Father every day. God is my Father, Jesus is my brother, and the blessed Holy Spirit is my guide. The devil's no relation, for I'm a new creation. I'm a child, the family in the sky. By way of announcement this morning, mark your calendar for next Friday, this Friday, coming Friday. This is the first day of the week. Sunday's the first day of the week. Everybody thinks it's the last day of the week. It's the first day of the week. Always was, always will be. And we celebrate Christ and hear his word and come together on the first day of the week, not on the seventh day, not on Saturday. And I'm sorry if you're a Seventh-day Adventist like Terry Gump. No, he's not. Not anymore. He was converted. He used to be perverted. Now he's converted. And a little perverted, too. But anyway, it's this, on the first day of the week, when we come to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was in the tomb on Saturday, but he was alive again on Sunday. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. So do you. Anyway, mark your calendar for next Friday, June 25th, this Friday, June 25th, at 7:30 p.m. here at our building, right here, where you're sitting today, probably in the other room, but for our Friday Night Live, first Friday Night Live in a long time, in over a year since the pandemic. We used to have it at Dan and Judy's for almost 15 years or so. And we're going to have it here in our beautiful new building, our new facility that God gave us. Terry Gump will preside, giving him the opportunity to pour out the riches of God's grace that have accumulated in his soul from many years of study while he had to work full-time also. And he told me he's probably going to teach a series called Hidden in Hebrews, which would be wonderful because there's so much hidden there. Hebrews is such a magnificent document. Or something like that, anyway. I called it Hidden in Hebrews. Is that good enough? Good enough. Okay, Hidden in Hebrews. And I personally can't wait. Likewise, it'll serve to exercise our two ministry candidates, Ty Gump and Greg Seligman, who Pastor Gump will give occasion to speak as he determines. So be nice to him if you want to speak. You have to be nice to Terry. I'm not calling the shots. He is. And we'll all look forward to that also. Also, feel free to stick around afterward for a couple hours, an hour or so. I don't think Dan can make 2 hours, can you, Dan? He has to get up early on Saturday morning. But anyway, stick around for a couple hours to enjoy spiritual rapport along with any food or snacks that you wish to bring. We're not providing it, but you can bring anything you want. And that's not the main purpose of our meeting, is to eat, but to eat the Word of God. And Grace and Truth Church will provide a variety of hot and cold beverages. We'll have coffee, tea, and water. How's that? No booze or drugs allowed, only the new wine of the Spirit and the great happiness that comes from eating God's Word, Jeremiah 15:16, drinking fully from the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Also, we'll make available a slot for Christian testimonies, as I mentioned on Tuesday. While we're on that subject, I sense that some who were here or some that listen to the message from Tuesday night might be confused by what was said in the message. When I said that coming to Christ is an event and not a process. Some don't remember how or when that occurred in their life, but don't worry, because I can confidently tell you that if you believe in Christ, that event occurred at some point, in some way or another, and of that you can be sure. The Bible clearly states that. So don't worry about that. If you believe in Christ, you had an encounter with Christ. And he did that. He came to you at just the right time and you believed in Christ. Now to our message. It's Sunday, June 20th, 2021, Father's Day. Our message is entitled, Of Wool, Like a Sheep, and Lanolin. Lanolin is the oil that comes from the skin of a sheep that has many wonderful soothing properties. Here's the first question I want to ask you. Are you a lion or a lamb? I think some of us are lions too often and lambs too seldom. Pastors have to be lions in the pulpit and say things that hurt people's feelings, unpopular things sometimes, for which they suffer greatly. They have to risk sometimes being disliked, criticized, ignored, ridiculed, slandered, etc., etc. But they tell me in the end it'll all be worth it. Think it will? Of course it will. The Lord says it will be. But out of the pulpit, we have to be lambs. Pastors do. Led to the slaughter, but in all these things, more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8, 32 to 39. Through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's Revelation 12, 11 from our message on Tuesday. We're called to live in peace and harmony, following our shepherd, who is himself a lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the whole world. Our text is Ephesians 1:13, and you can turn there if you'd like. We're going to touch on it and then go into some other things of wool and lanolin. Our passage says, but now, remember you were at one time apart from Christ. You didn't have Christ. And you were in this world without hope and without God. And then he says, but now in Christ, you believed in Christ, so you're in Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly, that means you used to be, but you're not anymore. Formerly, far off. You were far off. So far off, so far away, you couldn't get back. Couldn't get there from wherever you were. I got to find my, what did I do with that thing I had? Where? Oh, did I throw it on the floor? I can't turn pages without it. Ah, I think. Yeah, something like that. We who were formerly far off have been brought near. Ginnamai, the Lord brought us near. We were brought and bought with a price, brought near by the blood of Christ. The other night I saw in a dream a piece of land, a home or homestead with my name on it. This is true. The future home, it said, there was a sign in the lot, said the future home of Scott Warren. It was a beautiful place where anyone would love to live. It's right next door to Dan Seligman's plot, who will be my closest neighbor for all eternity. I did see that. It's a strange dream. I also had another dream about Pastor Knapp. I'll have to tell you sometime about that one. But not today. It's right next door to Dan's. He's my closest neighbor for all eternity, living next door, which is thankfully a couple miles away. We don't want to be, you don't want to be too close to anybody for all eternity, except the Lord. Now, it's going to be much different there. So now on a more serious note, things are happening. Jim and I talked about it this morning. There's some real underlying currents and pressures. It's like that song by whoever sang it. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Not a man with a gun over there, but telling us we have to beware. But anyway, there's a pressure and a tension that is of an unknown origin. There's an attempt being made to separate friends, to diminish unity, and to split our lovely little church. You say, how could it split? It wouldn't be very big on either side, would it? No, it may not be anywhere at all, if that's the case. And it is always satanic when that happens. The enemy wants to destroy our testimony by getting us to focus on minor issues and petty disagreements, using people as wedges to separate longtime friends. Our church can't afford any such interference. Therefore, we bind on earth that which is bound in heaven. We're told to do so. All superficial and secondary issues that would distract. I lost my thing again, didn't I? Like these things that distract us and cause interference, unnecessary interference. We bind on earth with that which is bound in heaven, all superficial and secondary issues that would distract our singular focus upon Christ. Remember, Christ is the only celebrity of the church and the only role model for genuine spiritual life and activity. Therefore, we fix our gaze on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And I ask you, will you determine to do that also with me? And I know you will. So let's make sure that that occurs. By all means, we're to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in Ephesians 4:3, and not to make issues out of anything. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Sometimes we just have to tolerate each other. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that is what I intend to do from now on until the end. He is the one, Christ, waiting at the finish line, waiting to receive you and me and to reward us and to take us with him so that we might be with him where he is forever. Nothing can take precedence over that. We were all at one time, as our passage tells us, far off. Some really far out. Some way out. Some in a dark place that none of us would even recognize, because you'd never been there before. Nevertheless, the Lord bought us and brought us to himself when he suffered and shed his blood in Gethsemane, which means the olive press. He was squeezed and pressed in the olive press till the olive oil came out of him, the olive branch. He was flayed with 39 brutal lashes, punched by strong soldiers, punched in the face, had his beard plucked from his face, and they spit on him. Chapter 50, verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Imagine that. Oh, what he went through for us. Then pierced through the brow with a crown of thorns, and bleeding profusely, was nailed to the cross, hoisted up and dropped in the hole, jarring his wounds, tearing his soft tissue, muscles, tendons. And yet not a bone of him was broken, as the scripture said. All the while thinking of you, all the while thinking how wonderful and how joyous it will be when all of this is over and all of us are together forever in the kingdom of God. That only happens, those things only happen this side of eternity. Nothing like that ever again. All the while thinking how everything he was going through was well worth it. Well worth the cost. To gain you and me, considered by God a precious possession, worthy of the sufferings of Christ. He was the Lamb of God. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. John 1:22 and 36, the Passover Lamb. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, whose blood was collected in a basin, as they were instructed to do by Moses. And with a branch of hyssop, they dipped it and then placed the blood on the door post and on the lintel of the door in the sign of the cross. That's what they did. And the death angel passed over their dwelling. That is a sign or symbol of salvation for time and for eternity. It took the blood of God in Acts 20:28. That's how it's stated. And the death of his firstborn, the blood of the Lamb, to save us from eternal damnation. And Acts 20:28 says, Paul says to those who were gathered, and he's giving them instructions because he wouldn't see them anymore. He says, be on your guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood, with his own blood. God purchased the church with his own blood. I thought Jesus did. Jesus is God, in case you don't know who he is. In the Young's Literal Translation of Revelation 1:14, this is where our message on wool and lanolin comes in. Revelation 1:14, it says, and his head and hair was white as if it were white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. Here it says his hair was white, though he died at age 33, long before white or gray sets in. Some say it was due to the shock of bearing the sins of the world, the trauma, the pain, and the suffering, which indeed was unimaginable. But I say it's because we see him now as he is, the Lamb of God from all eternity, who took away the sins of the world, April 4, 30 A.D., when he suffered, bled, and died on the cross. Not only is that a biblical fact, it's a historical fact. It's reality. It's historical reality. Remember in the Transfiguration, Matthew 17, Mark 8? He reveals to his disciples that not only is he the young Messiah come to earth, he is the Ancient of Days, pre-existent, self-existent from all eternity, the one who is God who came bringing grace and truth and fulfilling every jot and tittle of the law that came by Moses, ratifying a new and far better covenant, that's Hebrews, hidden in Hebrews, sealed in blood. It's a blood covenant of which there is none stronger. The description from Revelation 1:14 that his hair and his head were white like wool comes from, of all places, Daniel. And you can turn there, if you'd like, to Daniel 7, 9, 13, and 22. Three verses that identify him before his incarnation as God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Daniel 7, 9. Daniel says, Daniel had a vision. He says, I kept looking until thrones were set up. He's seeing to the end of human history. And the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels, his throne has wheels. They were a burning fire. See, he could only be talking about one, the Lord Jesus, even before his incarnation, relating it to how John saw him in Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. His hair and his head were white like wool, taken from Daniel 7, 9. Daniel 7, 13 says, I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. That's a little confusing, isn't it? Well, in this vision of the future, Daniel sees the Son of Man, that is, Christ, who called himself the Son of Man, repeatedly, more often than he calls himself the Son of God. That's for darn sure. And now super eminently exalted, with a name and royal title above every other name and royal title. Daniel saw him in a vision 500 years before he came. Herein is the great mystery, unknown until Paul declares it. Many centuries later, the mystery is Christ, who is fully God and fully man at the same time. The one coming up to the other, the Son of Man coming up to the Ancient of Days. He's both. Two is one. Omnipresent God. God the Father can't be seen. Only Christ, who is the visible image of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15 and Hebrews 1:3. Who is fully the one and at the same time fully the other. Do you get that? Do you understand that? You see, not fully. I believe it. I can't figure out how that works exactly. Oh, you will. Just hang in there. He's fully one, at the same time fully the other, in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form, according to Colossians 2:9. This is so wonderful. I want to read it to you in three translations. First, Colossians 2:9 from the New American Standard. In him the fullness of deity dwells. We're not done with Daniel yet. We still have one more passage in Daniel 7:22. For in him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. That's great. The NLT, New Living Translation, Vicky just got a copy of that. Don't you, Vicky? Is that it there? Okay. You can buy that. It's a wonderful Bible to have. It states things so clearly. It says, for in Christ the fullness of God lives in a human body. The fullness of God lives in a human body. Wow. Or the YLT, Terry likes this one, this is Young's literal translation, it leaves the Greek intact in its translation. Because in him doth tabernacle. Tabernacle means, skinao means in a tent made of skin. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a human body. Indeed, he is wonderful, Counselor. Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Happy Father's Day, Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6, Ancient of Days, Daniel 7:9, 13, and 22, Creator, John 1:3, Sustainer, Hebrews 1:3, Redeemer, Job 19:25. Job the Ancient says, I know that my Redeemer lives and will stand upon the earth at the last day. Great God and Savior, Titus 2:13, both titles describing the same person. That person is Jesus, Philippians 2:11, who at the mention of his name, every knee will bow. Now, Dan, the last passage in Daniel for the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7:22. He says, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the Highest One, and the time arrived when the saints would take possession of the kingdom. That's him. Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days, and the young Messiah, who died at age 33 and a half. Getting to know him is a great objective. Of all the days, the few days that remain of our lives on earth, we don't have very much time left. The writer of Proverbs wants to ask you, and does ask all of us, five simple questions to see how you're doing with getting to know Christ. Proverbs 30, verse 4. You can mark it down or look it up if you're quick. This is from the NLT also. Proverbs 34. He says, who but God? You answer the questions as they're asked. Who but God? Don't answer them out loud. Answer them in the quietness of your own soul. Who but God goes up to heaven and comes back down? That's the first question. Christ? Who holds the wind in his fists? Who wraps up the oceans? They're big. In his garment or cloak. Who has created the whole wide world. What is his name? And what is his son's name? Tell me if you know. With these same things in view, the Apostle Paul tells us what is most important to him personally in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. There's no higher aspiration than this. The power of his resurrection. I want to know. Power. The power of resurrection life. And the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. That's what his plan in your life is for. That's what it's all about. So you can really, truly be blessed in ways that you could never even imagine. You won't even think about yourself anymore. That's freedom. Crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless living, yet not you, but Christ, who lives inside of you. Paul says, for me, these days, living, Christ. Dying, profit. That's great. Do you think he meant that? He knew that. He meant that. That was everything to him. So, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. See, he wants to be like the Lamb of God, fully identified with him in his sufferings, crucified yet alive with resurrection life and power. And if nothing else in your life, if you do that, if you desire to do that, you do well. It won't be long for any of us. Oh, how quickly this life goes. Does it, Mom? Does it go quick? She's 88 years young. Goes really quick. I know she doesn't look 88. And it's not Mother's Day, it's Father's Day. My dad's long gone. My mom's still here with us. But it goes so quick. I know you think I'm still young, but I'm not. Stop it. Stop making fun of me. I'm old. Paul says, from now on, leave me alone. I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus. May it never be that I should boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. I just thought I'd add that at no charge. Like a lamb without spot or blemish, Christ, a man like no other. He who knew no sin, imagine never sinning once. No thought of sin, no deed, a sinful deed or attitude carried about or acted upon, any temptation. Hard to imagine. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, gentle and humble, Matthew 11:29, mighty to save. Course, Isaiah 63, wholly harmless, seeking and saving the lost. That's what he came to do in Luke 19:10. So, what do? Stay gentle. Speak gentle words. Be slow to anger. Have no hidden agendas against anyone. No plans to hurt or harm. Give everything up and over to the Lord. You can't go wrong. Angry words are swords that cut deep and permanently wound sensitive souls. And not all criticism is constructive. We speak the truth in love. In the last days, Matthew 24:10 to 14, many will be offended. Iniquity shall abound. We're told, Jesus told us in Matthew 24, the great dissertation on the last times, and the love of many shall wax cold. So make sure you recognize what's needed. Speak gracious words that edify in Ephesians 4:29. No corrupt communication, only words that edify and minister grace to those who hear them. Tolerance and kindness are the cure, and encouragement builds up the body of Christ. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He rules the church as a lamb. Sheep don't growl. Did you ever hear a sheep growl? Or attack. They are gentle. You can always handle them. They're wonderful. They're soft and cuddly. You can count them at night and go to sleep safely. Humble and peaceful. Sheep don't pick fights, start arguments, stir up trouble. Nor are they discontent. Never. Nor are they other than grateful at all times. They are as happy as can be just to follow the shepherd and to dwell with the other sheep, to follow the shepherd wherever he goes, to feed and rest in green pastures beside still waters, and to be at peace within. Pray for our leaders in our nation in 1 Timothy 2:4, so that we could have an environment like that, so we can worship the Lord freely without any interference and without any limitations. That's what he tells us to do. Pray for those in power, government, so that we can have that kind of environment. Our shepherd is the Lamb of God that laid down his life for the sheep, who calls, leads, and feeds his lambs, leaves the 99. How many have been sought by the Lord as one who strayed, as he left the 99 behind? Every one of us, whether you know it or not. To get the one who strayed away, when he finds that, when he finds it and causes it to bond, how does he do it? He breaks its leg. Can't run away. And then he holds it close so that it bonds with him and it's pressed against his heart. And he knows, that one knows that he can never stray again. And it's not because the Lord doesn't love you that he hurt you. It's because he does. Until I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept his word. How many have been afflicted that way by the Lord? And now you're bonded. Now you're bonded, right? You can't go. There's nowhere else to go. Thank you, Lord. His affliction is a blessing. You know what? Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. The wounds of a friend are faithful, and he is your best friend. So you think you're not going to be able to get it or overcome the desires that you have and the pangs and the impulses that you have. You don't even know. God can take those away in a minute. I have to tell the story once more. I smoked for 55 years, and he took my cigarettes away a year and a half ago. So if he can do that, that's a gripping addiction. You know that, don't you? Anybody know that? How gripping it is an addiction? It was for me, anyway. And he did it. So he can take yours away, too, no matter what it is. I can only imagine. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. Back to our message. We got to talk about it. Wool and lanolin. Our shepherd is the Lamb of God that laid down his life for the sheep. And he leaves the 99 to go and get the one. He got us. By so doing, he keeps a helpless lamb alive and well. I love being a lamb. Like the Lord, the Lamb of God. Like him. I want to love others, I want to forgive others, help others, heal others if I can, or be an agent of healing, turn others from negative choices and lame excuses, speak the truth in love without intent to hurt or to harm anyone. Listen to him speak, and see if you are in any way like he is. I told you she sang the song this morning, take your heavy burden and give it to him. Exchange it for the light one. Here he is in Matthew 11:28. Come to me. Now close your eyes. This is the Lord speaking. Come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, zugos, upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble. This is the Lord, and gentle. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is kindness. I'll get under the kindness yoke. And my burden is Elephros. It's easy. Christos and Elephros. My yoke is kindness, and my burden is easy. The easy burden and the kind yoke. So you must remember, always remember, to avoid familiarity at all costs and keep looking and listening to your good shepherd. Follow the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd in John 10:11, in John 10:14. He's the great shepherd in Micah 5:4. There's one nobody looks at very often. And also in Hebrews 13:20, the great shepherd of the sheep, and the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. He's our shepherd. He's a sheep. He's a lamb who's a shepherd. It says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. That's for pastors and those who stay with the ministry of the word for a lifetime. The goal is to be like him in 1 John 2:6. 1 John 2:6, the one who says he abides in him, in Christ, ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Okay? That only makes good sense. John 14:17, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we are like Christ here in this world. Christ's likeness will evidently be the standard of judgment for reward without condemnation, for commendation without condemnation, because that's what the judgment seat of Christ will be for believers. In Ephesians 5:1, we're all supposed to be imitators of one person, only the Lord Jesus, who is the only celebrity and role model of the church. Ephesians 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma, the sight of wool and the smell of lanolin. The sight of wool so soft, so white, so warm, so pure, so durable, and the sweet smell, soothing ointment of lanolin, which is the oil of sheepskin. I apologize for times I've not been like him, and I forgive you for your lapses as well. But now let us follow even more closely and so much more carefully the Lamb of God, the Lord, our shepherd, whose hair and whose head are white like wool and with the sweet smelling and soothing ointment of lanolin all around. And then finally, don't forget this Friday, the return of Friday Night Live with Pastor Gump, with Ty and Greg, as he gives them opportunity to speak as well. And I'm really looking forward to seeing all of you there. Happy Father's Day, and thank you for your attention. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Vicky's wonderful ministry and song, and for this congregation who worships in spirit and truth by sitting quietly listening to the Word of God, allowing their soul to be filled with truth, with the Word of God. Many passages of Scripture correlated and laid out so that they can pick and choose and eat from a very lavish smorgasbord of truth and portions from the Word of God. Thank you for that. We need it desperately. We thank you for it. We believe what we've heard and incorporate it, mix faith with what we heard, so that you can impute righteousness to faith and bring us along in your plan. We thank you for all these things. Make it stick, Lord. And bless the offering also in Jesus' name. Amen.
If we could all stand.